Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Dahlin up top looking for the puck. If it's there, carried by Peyton Krebs. Left at the line. Samuelson shot, scores! Matias Samuelson with a seeing eye shot from the blue line, and the Buffalo Sabres have a 2-0 lead here in the first period.
Dan Dunleavy on the call from last night. That was the game-winning goal. Matias Samuelson, his second of the playoffs, as that put Buffalo up 2-0. They go on to win it 4-1, take the series in six, and now await the winner of the Tampa Bay-Montreal Game 7. That'll be tomorrow, and then Buffalo will know their opponent. I don't know if we'll know the schedule in advance of tomorrow's game or not. I would think that they could, knowing that the Sabres are going to be the host team for at least the first two games, but as of this moment, we still have nothing from the league. I know I've gotten a lot of Twitter mentions today from people saying, do you know when game two is going to be or game one's going to be? I at least can tell you this. I think it's going to be Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, I think because of the fact they play on Sunday, they're going to have an off day Monday. Do they want to start it right away Tuesday? They might want to catch the series up because of the fact that Philadelphia and Carolina are already starting tonight. So that other series in the East, in the Metro side of the bracket, starting today. So I don't know if they want to get the other series too far ahead of the other. But anyway, all speculation, as we know. We thought we had the schedule figured out last time, and we were wrong. So anyway, that's just my guess. Probably plan on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night start for the Sabres in Game 1 against whoever they end up playing. Okay, Paul Hamilton joining us now here on the Wester Hotline. Paul, fresh back from Boston on his flight. And Paul, hope you had smooth travels. What was it like last night in those final seconds as you are sitting there covering a team that has finally advanced to round two for the first time in a long time?
Well, of course they're happy, but, you know, it's not like pandemonium or anything. They're happy they won. They're proud of themselves that they won. But, you know, you look at it and say to yourself, hey, we have more to do. Kind of like, remember in Chicago when they won the division, and I said to you after I went around the locker room and talked to the guys, not one guy wore the championship hat. And it wasn't because they disliked the hat or weren't proud of what they did. They said, this isn't the hat we're after. I mean, we're after another hat, and this is great, and it's part of the process that they're building right now. But that's not what they're after. They're not looking for just the division. They're looking for more. So, you know, it's I sensed, sure, there was elation, but it wasn't over the top or anything like that. You know, a few more smiles. As you heard Tage Thompson, who doesn't really kid around all that much, kind of kidded me a little bit, you know, with a question. So he was happy with what went on. And but it just wasn't over the top because their job in their minds is not done.
Paul, I think it's probably maybe we shouldn't be surprised by this reaction because, I mean, Alex Tuch in the regular season, even before they even clinched a spot, I think, I mean, they were trending towards having one, but he had said, like, hey, you know, we're here, essentially, I'll paraphrase, like, we're not here just to make the playoffs. We're here to win the cup. Like, that was a message from Tuch, and that was, you know, I before they had even clinched a spot anywhere. So I guess maybe we shouldn't be surprised by the fact that it wasn't like, you know, throwing hats and sticks off the bench and running out to center ice to celebrate.
Yeah, no, exactly. This is a more mature group. We've talked about this many times. You know, they last year would, you know, different things would bother them. And Tage Thompson has talked about it many times that they would get too high after wins and then, you know, all of a sudden they'd start losing. They would get too low after losses, and one loss would turn into four losses, would turn into six losses, and, you know, you know the rest. So, yeah. But they didn't do that this year. They're more focused, and this is a perfect example. They had lost the last game to Boston. They knew they didn't play the game the way they wanted to. They knew they didn't use their speed to get into the zone very well, which allowed the Boston defense to get the puck and get it out and start the rush for Boston. And even with it all, it still was a 1-1 game. and it was there for the Sabres to win, even though they weren't playing their best at the time. And unfortunately for Buffalo, Pastrnak got the overtime winner. Buffalo had two great chances in overtime to win the hockey game, a couple of chances in the third period to win it. So even though they weren't on their game totally, they still were good enough to be right there and almost win the hockey game anyway. But they put it away. And you heard Lindy Ruff yesterday. He basically didn't want to go to the rink twice. You know, they had a practice the day before. It's like he wanted the trip to the rink to be, this is the business trip right now. And as he said, and it wasn't an insult to the media at all. He just said, I didn't want the guys around you guys, you know, us asking questions about the loss and all that kind of stuff, because that's not the mindset he wanted those guys in. He wanted them in, as he said, he told them, you know, quote, we are going to win this game today, and this is how we're going to do it. We are going to improve on this, this, and this. And they did it right away. You know, the five guys with speed attacking Boston, which backed them off. They couldn't stand up at the blue line, so it backed them off. And look at the Tuck goal. Tuck comes down the left side flying, gains the zone. Boston's backing off him. Now here comes Dahlin a little bit later into the rush. He's flying. So Tuck gets the puck to Dahlin, and he goes to the net. And Dahlin looked like he was going to fall down, but, you know, Dahlin, yeah, he's got pretty good balance and plays really well. And he kept control of the puck and made a perfect pass to Tuck. And with all this speed going on, the Bruins had no – they lost Tuck. They didn't know where he went. I mean, everything was happening too fast for them. And Buffalo, it was just the right speed for them. And that was right off the bat, and it just continued throughout the game.
Let's talk about Alex Lyon-Paul. Since taking over as the goaltender for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in Game 2, these are Lyon's numbers from the first round. Four numbers to give you here. A 3-0-1 record, a .955 save percentage, a 1.14 goals against average, and a positive 5.86 goals saved above expected right there. I mean, those are all jaw-dropping numbers here. They obviously have a lot to thank to Lyon, as also a reason why they're moving on to round two.
Yeah, and I just, for housekeeping, he was 3-1. They don't have a, it's not three, it's not like the regular season where you
That's
can go
true.
3-0
it's not
one. He was actually
right.
3-1.
Good point.
I'm just, I'm just housekeeping
loss,
here.
A loss is a loss, you're right.
Yeah, I'm just housekeeping here.
That's all.
And I knew what you meant.
Fair enough, you're right.
But,
yes.
Just so and the fan does is they go, wait a minute. You
No. They didn't get a point in that game. They lose their point. No. You're right. Yeah. I should have said 3-1. You're right.
but, yeah, he came in, and I don't think Luukkonen was bad. I mean, Luukkonen did win the home game. There was only one home game to win, and Luukkonen won the home game and played really well. What unfortunately happened to Luukkonen is he had one bad period. And that was it. And I said to you and others that I would not have sat him after one bad period. But Lindy Ruff was right. He changed goaltenders, and it worked perfectly for him. And Luukkonen, I think, handled it well. But does he want to be in? Sure he does. I'm sure he's upset he's not in, but he's not showing it. He's being a good teammate. Every time Lyon comes over in a break, he's talking to him. When he stopped that penalty shot, I looked at Luukkonen, and he's jumping up and down. You know, and I see him in the locker room. I don't think his demeanor has changed at all. I mean, he's still, you know, if the guys are kidding around, he's kidding around. He's not moping around or anything like that. So, you know, it's a decision that was made. He wants to win. Right now, Lyon is winning, and he is supporting him.
Paul Hamilton with us here on the Western Hotline. Brian Colzio live at Batavia Downs. The Kentucky Derby party underway here in the Park Place room, and they've got three different parties going on today, but the race scheduled for just before 7 p.m. tonight. Ryan Hasenauer is going to come back at 4:30 to give us his picks if you're looking for that here along the way. If you want to make a wager today, it's BataviaBets.com. Paul, the winner of tomorrow night's game will obviously be Buffalo's next opponent, Tampa and Montreal. What's the case for wanting to play either team, I guess, if I can let you maybe say, why would you want to play Montreal over Tampa and then vice versa?
I think Tampa's the better matchup for Buffalo, and Tampa can certainly score goals. There's no question about that. They have Kucherov. They have Point. They have others, you know, that can put the puck in the net. There's just absolutely no question about that. But Buffalo, for whatever reason, has been better against Tampa this season. Montreal tends to give them problems, and I think a little of it is their speed. And, you know, so I think just Montreal has given Buffalo more problems because of that. Tampa's not a fast team. Tampa, I don't know if they still have it in their heads that they can come in and maul the Sabres. That's what they were thinking in the regular season, that we'll just come in and we'll slap them around all over the rink and they'll just back down. That's not what happened. The Bruins kind of thought that was going to happen too. Nope, sorry, that's not the Buffalo Sabres anymore. You're not going to slap them around. They're going to be right back in your face. And so I really think even though Tampa can score goals and they have a tremendously good goaltender, although I will say Vasilevsky at times this year has not looked like Vasilevsky, but he certainly did in the last game. 0-0 tie going into overtime. I saw some highlights from that game, and wow, I mean, he was totally on his game.
Paul, let's just talk a little bit about Lindy Ruff here. His value, his playoff experience. This team is gaining playoff experience, but still young by the means of maybe what Tampa's roster could look like coming in here. How do you think Lindy has helped them through this first round of getting through the nerves? You mentioned even yesterday a maneuver about only getting him to the rink once. Like, just how do you think he's handled this group that has had overall a lot less playoff experience than maybe the normal team that would?
He has mentioned nerves a couple of times in these playoffs, and he did again yesterday. He mentioned it from the fact of the third period. You know, coming into the third period, the Sabres are protecting a one-goal lead, and he thought they were a little bit nervous. And Lyon had to make some good saves in the third period. I wouldn't say Boston was dominating, but Boston was better. They were getting some more chances than they had been getting. Sabres had done a pretty good job of defending during the game. But they kind of played out of it in the third period. And he talked about how the goal by Benson just seemed like it settled them down there. That they knew, yep, we're okay. We defended the lead, even though maybe not as well as we have in the past, but we didn't allow Boston to score. And now we've gotten the two-goal lead. Now we really know what we're doing, and we're going to be fine.
Paul, I don't know if you saw this because you might have still been in the air flying back from Boston, but
what, the beer skate?
Yeah.
Did you see the beer skate?
I did see that.
Isn't that awesome? For people who don't know, Carolina, instead of a beer stick or a beer saber like the Sabres have or a beer bat you see in baseball, they actually have now a beer skate.
They're just chugging it like it's like beer in a shoe, right, essentially there. Wild. I know, you know, you're always in highest regard for NHL player safety in terms of what they do, Paul, yeah, with rulings. Charlie McAvoy has been offered an in-person hearing with NHL player safety for what he did to Zach Benson, slashing him at the end of the game, which means he could be suspended for more than five games, so I guess six or more, to start next year's season here. I know when I asked you about Zadorov the other night, you laughed to the point where I had to take my headset off. It was such a hard laugh here. How much laughing should we do here? I mean, does this mean it's going to be at least five or more, or am I reading too much into that because it is in person?
You never know what it means, but it can be, and that's the thing, and it should be. I mean, that he just wound up and hit him in the head with it with his stick. Honestly, I feel both players should be suspended. I mean, Benson, what he did was scummy too. I mean, he kicked out with a slew foot, kicked out McAvoy's skates, which is why he was so livid. But that doesn't excuse any of it. I would say, and for whatever reason, the NHL does not deem slew foots normally as suspendable offenses. I don't know why, because it's an extremely dirty play and it's an extremely dangerous play. But I probably would give Benson a game, and I would give McAvoy 5, 6, 7 at least. That just can't be tolerated, what he did.
Yeah, and that obviously would, for McAvoy, would start next regular season, the 26-27 season. And obviously for Benson, it could happen for game one of the next round if
that
gets to that
point. I don't
think
he'll be suspended. I think we would have heard by now if they were going to have a, you know, talk to him. And as I said, with Slewfoot's, you know, I guess they think boys will be boys. That's kind of how George Parros does his work. So, you know, usually with that, they aren't suspended. But I feel they're an extremely dangerous play and should be suspended.
Yep. Last thing, Paul, and then I'll let you go because I know you're probably tired from your trip. Out of all the other series, which result was the most surprising to you in terms of maybe an upset or maybe even just how quickly Ottawa got bounced or, you know, where else there? Edmonton and McDavid are done. Pittsburgh is out. Where are you looking elsewhere as maybe the most surprising result in your eyes?
I wasn't seeing this Ottawa love that they were getting. I wasn't surprised at all what happened to them. I everybody thought they were whatever, a lot better than they wound up being. And so that one didn't surprise me. Anaheim having an easy time basically surprised me. And, you know, you look at, you know, some of the comments that are going on right now in Edmonton. I mean, you got McDavid and Dreisaitl sitting at the podium saying we've gone backwards. And what does that mean? McDavid didn't want to, you know, do a long contract. Just kind of, let's see what happens. Well, now you've gone backwards. I've never been completely convinced that he's wanted to be there. When you saw his face at the draft lottery, I think that said it all. Yeah. I don't think he looked like he had seen a ghost. So did Bettman. I don't know. I mean, Wayne Gretzky left. Now, that was more the NHL wanted to get Wayne Gretzky into the U.S. Wayne Gretzky's wife was an actress in Los Angeles. The Edmonton Oilers needed money, and they got a lot of it in that trade. So there were a lot of factors in that. But that was almost an NHL-induced trade that right. We got to get Wayne Gretzky into the U.S. because that's the market we need to tap here. And him being at Edmonton is killing us. And that's why Gary Bettman looked like he looked, not that he hates Edmonton, as far as I know, but they don't want their stars in Edmonton because they're trying to push their stars in the United States. At least Matthews was in Toronto, which is right. A little bit different. But I don't think they wanted him in Canada either. They want to push hockey in the U.S. And we don't get to see Edmonton all that often on national TV. Because it's not going to bring in viewers. It's not going to bring in, you know, even though Connor McDavid and Dreisaitl and those guys are on that team, we just don't get to see them on national TV that often, and that's not what the NHL is looking for.
Beyond the fact that it's a Canadian team, as you mentioned, it's also Rocky Mountain time. So, you know, all these TV networks, Paul, that have their prime game at either 7 or 7:30, like, that's not when Edmonton plays. So that's another hurdle of that location. I'm sure that the NHL would have loved for it to gone elsewhere. But anyway, Paul, thank you so much for joining us. I know you had a busy day traveling. I look forward to covering another series with you upcoming, starting in a couple of days.
And I have bad news for you.
What?
Your Orioles are losing 9-4.
No, jeez. To your Yankees here?
Sorry.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Bellinger's killing them. 2 home runs, a double, a single.
Well,
I feel bad for you.
They're not that good.
They got good for 1 year. I don't know why they were good for 1 year and that was it.
It was a quick tease and now they're not good anymore. But they're okay. They're okay. Obviously, you know, if they can make you stress a little with your Yankee games, then I'm all for it. But
hey, I like the color. I like the color combination. I mean, the orange.
And they have a beautiful ballpark.
When they have black. You know what? All the ballparks I've been to, I have not gone there yet, and I need to get there.
Yes, you do. I know. And you love going to see different stadiums and everything. So, yes.
It's so easy. You just fly into Baltimore. You can go on a Southwest flight for $49. You could actually go to the game in the morning and then fly home at night if you wanted to.
Owen talked about going, and all of a sudden Howard Simon opened his wallet. Maybe I'll tell Howard that you've never been to Camden Yards. Maybe Howard will open up his wallet again for you to pay for it.
Maybe we'll do a field trip. We'll leave in the morning.
That's right.
We'll go to an afternoon game, and we'll come home at night.
Come right back. All right, I'm in. Sounds great.
Right.
Thanks, Paul. I'll see you for game one, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday night.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton with us here on the Western Hotline. Paul, of course, was in TD Garden last night, and he also asked some questions to Lindy Ruff. Let's hear from the Sabres head coach here. I know maybe many of you didn't get a chance to hear the Sabres head coach from last night. Here is Lindy after their series clinching win over the Bruins.
Playoff series win for you as a coach and for you as part of this team, so meaningful.
Well, you know, I think there's part A is getting to the playoffs. Part B is trying to have success once you get there. And, you know, we talked about how hard this series was going to be, what a challenge it was going to be to try to, you know, take out a good team. Boston's a good team. And then to do it on the road with a team that had played so well at home, one of the better home records in the league. I thought our guys dug in, gave us a heck of a game tonight.
Lindy, you talked this morning about what it would take to win this game, whether it was using your speed and that type of thing. It seemed like you executed it almost perfectly the way you laid it out earlier.
Yeah, you know, we knew we could be better, you know, in the small areas, get inside. I thought the first goal was a great job of getting inside, activating our D, Dahl's getting involved. I thought Tomer made a great play coming off the wall, but moving our feet. You know, I thought the game at home, you know, I just felt there was a lot of, you know, they got in the way. There's, you know, maybe I didn't like some of the holding and the hooking, but I just told our guys tonight, keep your feet moving. We got to keep our feet moving. We got to get inside and keep our feet moving. And I think it was the biggest difference in the game. Like shift after shift, that the compete on the puck was excellent. The moving inside the offensive zone was led to three of the goals.
After Benson made it 3-1, it seemed like the forechecking, the puck management just took up to another level. Is that just 18 guys smelling the finish line with 10 minutes to go?
Well, you look at the Benson goal, it's a heck of an example of what an effort by Doan on a 50-50 and keeping your feet moving and finding Benny, and a great shot by Benson finding the top corner. That was a big goal that time of the game. I thought we started the third period just a little bit nervous, like we didn't handle a puck well. And I thought if we get a couple opportunities to get the third goal, we would loosen up. And I thought as the period went on, we found our game.
What did you sense from the team this morning? You know, you didn't skate. You know, you kind of had the guys at the hotel. Tage said they all felt like they were going to win this game. Like, what was just the vibe you were picking up from the team this morning?
Yeah, part of it was I wanted them to come here only once today just to be ready to play and basically try to keep them away from you guys. you know, there's a lot of pressure inside a series, from game to game to, you know, losing the home game. Really felt we didn't need to come here and have a morning skate or even make it optional and come here. I actually think we surprised a few guys. They didn't even look at our itinerary, and they thought we were coming to the rink. So it's a group that, you know, hasn't been here. I wanted to try to keep it relaxed. I told them we're going to win the game. I said we are going to win the series. We're going to win the game. We've got to do some things better, but we are going to win the game.
Lindy, we're not such bad guys, just for the record.
No, you guys aren't. No. You cause stress and pressure for them.
So talk about stress and pressure on the road. You guys transitioned from a terrible road team to an excellent road team this year, but the playoffs are another animal. What does it mean to you these guys continued their play on the road and go 3-0 in the playoffs on the road in this first series?
It meant everything in this series for sure. You look at them coming into our building and winning two games, us coming into their building and winning three games. Really like to, you know, grab a hold of how energized our building is and use that to an advantage and win hockey games. Would have really liked this game to have been in Buffalo. It wasn't, but it would have been special to have this game there.
Lindy, Alex Lyon, it can be overshadowed just of the euphoria of the win, but just two huge saves early. He was your backbone, you know, as the series progressed. What can you say about his performance over these last, you know, four games?
Played excellent. You mentioned the two saves. I thought the first period he made three or four saves that were game changers. You look at the breakaway. I thought – breakaway was borderline, too many men on the ice on their part. But we got caught, and he covered up for us. Part of what we talked about this morning is there's going to be mistakes in the game. Somebody's going to have to cover up for somebody. And I thought, Al, he covered up some of our mistakes. He covered up some big mistakes in the game. Our goaltenders have done that all year for us. UPL, Ellie, Alex have done a great job. You look at UPL getting us a win in this series. It's been a year that we've used them all, and they've been there, and they've been big for us.
Lindy. That was Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff from last night, just a few minutes from the podium, in case you missed some of his post-game comments following the 4-1 victory over the Bruins. We will take a timeout here from Batavia Downs. When we come back, Ryan has an hour with his picks. Get ready. Get your pen ready. Get your ears ready. Listen up. Ryan has an hour's picks on the Kentucky Derby. When we return here inside the Park Place Room, party going on. Everybody's having a great time here for the 152nd running of the Run for the Roses. Back with more right here from Batavia Downs. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening to WGR.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time for the highly anticipated. We need to get voice gallery to record this here. Ryan's picks.
Get the WGR right? guy. He's got a great voice. That's, like yes. Well, that does all the commercial stuff. WGR.
That's right. It is now time for Ryan Has an Hour to return here from Davey Downs to give us his picks. But before we do that, let's tell everybody how they can enjoy the rest of the day here at Batavia Downs, Ryan. We got a whole bunch of different stuff going on. Since I've been on the air the entire time, it's been filled. People are having a good time. I've been smelling the chicken barbecue, and that was delicious. Thank you. And there's a whole bunch of stuff going on at 34 Rush, I know. And then you got the gala. Was that upstairs?
Gala just opened up, so I just opened the door. So everybody's running down the hall. Everyone's dressed to the nines. They look so good.
So people want to get in on the gala for future Triple Crown events. They got to get tickets in advance, right?
Yeah.
That sold out?
I would say like probably a month out from the Derby is when we go, because we know that they sell out quick. So about a month out from the Derby, we'll put them on sale. The real key is to get the hotel deal, because if you get the hotel deal, you get a hotel room for tonight and you get two tickets to the event, and we take a little bit of money off of that, so you kind of get a little bit of a break there. So what happened this year is that we actually ended up releasing a couple more tickets, because once we did all the seating charts, we were like, wait, we can fit like 14 more people in here. So tickets actually went back up, I want to say Wednesday, and then they went out like that. So, as we configure things, we're probably in the, 275, almost 300 people up there. It was great. So just real excited. And I know we were at 250 chickens served down here by 2:30, and it's 4:30 now, and it's still jammed in here. And people are still walking up getting chicken.
And people
dinners.
Can still come into the Park Place Room here and get the chicken and enjoy all the TVs and everything in here, right?
Yeah, you don't even have to pay to get into the Park Place Room. Yeah. You can just literally come in here and hang out and just watch it on the big screens. And then if you want to get the chicken dinner, you can. Homestretch Grill's here, too. No one's stopping you from getting the Homestretch Grill. You could do that if chicken...
You got the $40 special, right, with that, with the chicken dinner and all the other stuff that goes with it.
$25 in free play and a $5 wager on the Derby, and then you do get the the free program and all that other good stuff. So
awesome. Very good. And if you want to get the mint julep, I know they're selling it at one of the stations over here as well.
Yeah, throughout the building, it's a $7 mint julep, and you get to keep the glass. The glass is worth like $6 by itself. So
I had my orange juice in it when I got home from Tea to Green today.
There you go. Perfect.
I have so many of those Derby glasses. I love it. They're They've taken over part of our cabinet. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Get to reflect on, oh, that's right, that year. Good stuff.
I was at an estate sale yesterday, and the guy had Derby glasses from 1976, 1983. I was looking for 81 because that's when I was born, but he had 83, but they wanted 12, and I was like, ooh, 12, that's kind of tough. And I wasn't even alive for some of these, so I was like, I'm going to hold off for now. But I got quite the collection myself. It's good times.
I work on 78 for me.
Yeah. So.
That was affirmed, right?
Affirmed, yeah.
Triple crown.
That's right.
My birth year. Very exciting.
Before the big break there.
That's right. Okay. You ready to go?
I am ready to go.
Evan, what can we do for picks music here? I don't know. Is it any different than the Triple Crown music here?
Keystone Cops.
That's what you want? Keystone Cops?
Yeah, the Keystone Cops. Play that because I'm all over the place here. So really, Brian, what's going to happen here today is you need to pay attention because this is – a lot of these horses have raced at a mile and 3/16, a mile and an eighth. This is a mile and a quarter, so a little bit longer. So that's why pedigree for distance is important at this. What you're going to be looking for are the following horses to go out to the front. The 4, the 8, the 14, the 16, and the 17 are all going to be looking to go out to the front. Okay,
he's giving you the music.
I love it. And it's going to be a frantic start. This is perfect for it with the Keystone Capture. You're going to have all of these horses go right out to the front, and they're going to be looking to set the early pace. All the horses that we mentioned during our breakdown at 3:30 that are the stalker horses, that are all going to settle in probably between 4 and position number 10 or 12. Then those closers, those deep closers, are going to go way to the back, and then somewhere around the halfway point, they're going to start moving up, and then when we get to the top of the stretch, it's just going to be all heck's going to break loose, and you're going to have everybody just be flying for the finish. So, you know, I think this race sets up really nicely for Renegade. Even though he's on the rail, I think he's going to get in his position and he's going to hang tight and then he's going to make that move. You got to also keep in mind the number 18, Further Ado. We talked about it real quick there at the end. He won at Churchill Downs. He's won the Bluegrass Stakes. Even though he's losing his regular his regular rider over to the number one, he's picking up the best in John Velasquez. So I'm using the 1 and the 18. And then the number 6 horse, Commandment, with Luis Saez and Brad Cox. This horse has 4 wins from 5 starts. He won at Churchill Downs already. He rallied from 4th to the top of the stretch to win the Florida Derby, meaning that if he gets behind, some people, this is a debate on the Dan Patrick Show. Do the horses even know that they're racing? I think that they do.
Yeah.
This horse has proven that it doesn't matter if there's horses in front of him. He can still close and win this race, and he's got some good pedigree there. Again, a little bit of a knock because he's got a new jockey on board, but look at these guys are good enough that if you got a good horse, you're going to have it. So right now, the thing you're going to look for, too, is are the press-the-pace horses going to be at a fractions for the first quarter of a mile under 23 seconds. If they're under 23 seconds, that means they're going fast, Brian.
Yeah.
And if they're under 23 seconds and they're going fast, that means that those front-running horses are likely going to tire each other out. Here come the stalkers,
and
here come the closers. So if you see fractions, and you can't make a mid-bet, it's not like you can have live betting for sports where you can be like, oh, this game's going overtime, who's going to win it?
Right.
You can't bet mid-derby. But if you see fast fractions at the beginning, it's setting up nicely for the closers. If you see slow fractions, if this first quarter of a mile in this race is over 23 seconds, look out, because those pace setters might still have something in the tank to stay at the front all the way through the race. I cannot remember, I'd have to look this up, the last time we had a horse go essentially wire to wire. Maybe it was in second or third at the beginning of the race and took over halfway through and just never relented the lead all the way to the finish. But I'm thinking to myself, if you see slow fractions, these pace setting horses at the front, and I got number 8, I like number 8 underneath, they say underneath when you're betting exotic bets in my second or third spot, I'm going to be using the number 8 So Happy, one of these pace setting horses. I think he can stick around, and I think the same for the number 16, Pavlovi. So, my official bet, which I'll be tweeting out at RyanH7681 on Twitter, is going to be a $21 exacta, and I'm going to take 3 horses over 8 horses. So, of course, you can't be in first and second, so 3 times 7 is 21 for a dollar. I'll be putting some other bets out there, too, on my Twitter page. You can check it out. So, I'm going to be doing the 1, 6, and 18 over the 1, 6, 7, 8, 12, 15, 16, 18. I know there's a lot of horses in second place, but if any one of those horses hits the board and they're a very good, you know, long shot, mid-long shot, you're talking about the possibility of having a good payoff on that exacta. So even if, and again, the 1 is chalk, the 18 is somewhat chalk, and the 6 is a little chalky. But again, if you like the horses that I picked there, do your own bet. Maybe take 4 or 5 horses. I've got a celebrity guest handicapper that handed me something before I came out here today. And that particular guest handicapper likes the 1, 7, 8, 19, and 18. And if, let me tell you, if the 7 comes in or one of these other ones comes in first place on that exact box for $20,
right,
that's going to be good as well. So I'll be tweeting out my special guest handicapper's picks as well.
And the weather, not super warm, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah, right now we're looking at the mid-50s, actually. I've got, according to this, there's 10% precipitation. And what we've got going on there in Churchill Downs is really 57 degrees right now. And it's really going to stick around to that, maybe dip down 1 or 2 degrees by 7 o'clock when the race goes off.
All right. Good stuff there.
All right.
All right. Tell everybody again how they can make their wager. They love your picks. Maybe they don't even love your picks.
Maybe they don't. They want to pick their own picks.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So how can they do it?
So the first thing you can do is, if you're listening on any device that's got internet capability, go on to BataviaBets.com, get yourself signed up for an account, just, you know, reset your password, whatever it might be, and deposit, and then make a wager. You can do that right on from your PC, tablet, or smartphone. You're still plenty of time. This race doesn't go off till 6:57, and it really, Ryan, won't go off till like 7:02.
Yep.
So you got plenty of time to get to your local OTB branch or EasyBet. Go to westernotb.com/locations to find the location near you. Your location might be closest to here, me, Batavia Downs, right here. You can come out and see me. I'm going to be walking around the Park Place room. I'll be visiting 34 Rush. I'll be visiting the Derby Gala upstairs. I'll be all over the place. And so you can come see me. I'll give you a hint on how to bet. I'll show you how to use the SST machines, our self-service terminals, so you can make those wagers there. And again, I must stress, folks, help your neighbors. Help the people that have businesses locally. That's Western OTB. That's Batavia Downs. Make your bet with us. Make your bet online with Batavia Bets. Make your bet in person at a branch or an Easy Bet. Help keep the people at the branches and our Easy Bets employed, doing their thing. All my friends here, my coworkers here at Batavia Downs, working so hard, making this a great day for everybody. Make your wager here at Batavia Downs and shop local, bet local here with Batavia Downs and OTB.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, certainly you and your team have done an amazing job setting up all these events within the facilities here. Super impressive. I know everybody's having a great time. So thank you for making it a good experience for them and your expertise and information on the radio. Thanks for being a supporter of all of our Odyssey stations as well. I know you and Batavia Downs, you guys have been doing this for years.
And I got to tell you, you know, Brian, I got to thank you and Bridget, who came by to see us, and Ian, who's working hard here today for the WGR Street team. You know, obviously, folks, if you've got a local business and you're looking to do something to get the word out about what great product or what great service you have, give Bridget a call, give the folks at Odyssey a call, and you too can bask in the glory that is a full crowd of people that have come because they listen to those commercials every morning during Jeremy and Joe and every afternoon with Brad and Tim and in the evening with Mike and Chris there. So good times.
Thanks, Ryan.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Good luck with your picks.
Thanks.
All right. Ryan has an hour with us here from Batavia Downs Gaming. Okay. Final timeout. When we come back, just got a few minutes left here. We'll look ahead to the Derby and also round two for the Sabres. Brian Colzio live here inside the Park Place room. The Kentucky Derby party full swing here with post set for 6:57 p.m. Timeout. One more segment to go here on our Kentucky Derby show on WGR when we return.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's one step in the right direction. That's it. Every team sets out in training camp to try to be the best at the end of the year and try to hoist the Stanley Cup. And so obviously that's a goal for our team as well. We're one round into the playoffs. In our eyes, we haven't done anything yet. We're going to enjoy this win. This series win, we're going to move on and be ready for whoever we play next, because we're hoping it's a long road ahead for us, and it's going to be a grind each and every day.
All right, there is the guy that is now leading the team in points, Alex Tuck, in the playoffs. He scored again to open up the scoring last night. Then it was Samuelson, then it was Benson, then it was Norris, and the Sabres riding another nice night in net from Alex Lyon. They won 4-1 to win the series in six. We welcome you back here. Just a few minutes left on our Kentucky Derby Triple Crown show. Brian Colzio here with you. So the Sabres move on. We don't know who they're going to play next. I know I've been asking people throughout the game who do they want to play. I've come around on them playing Tampa, I think Paul talking about the matchup, how they match up better. It's tough to score in the playoffs against anybody, but I just think the speed of Montreal, those games were so intense against Montreal and against Tampa this year, so I feel like you're going to get that intensity. You will anyway because it's playoffs. I know that Tampa brings maybe an extra layer of physicality along those lines, but I think the Sabres know how to handle that. I think Boston tried to be physical, and Buffalo handled it well. I think Tampa will try to do the same, and I think the Sabres will handle it well. I think the depth of the offense for the Sabres, they have an edge against Tampa. I think Montreal, they've got a lot of good offensive talent, including maybe the best line in hockey right now, or at least the hottest line in hockey with Caulfield and Slafkovský and Suzuki. They've been so good, so dangerous. They can skate with the Sabres. So I feel like even though I've had enough of Tampa, I'm sick of them. I think they're an annoying team. I think they're a dirty team. I think for the matchup-wise, I think I'd rather have the Sabres play Tampa. Regardless, we're rooting for Game 7 tomorrow to go like 30 overtimes into Monday. Like, last until, like, 4 a.m. And then have the league already tell us that they have to play Tuesday. And then Tampa's got to fly all the way back up here and get them going. Now, Montreal would have to fly back to Montreal. And then, I don't know, I wonder if they burn their stuff to go right to Buffalo, if that's the case. Be curious about that. Do they pack like they're planning to go to Buffalo if they win? But anyway, yeah, as grueling as possible tomorrow. So many of these games have gone to overtime, so maybe for the Sabres' sake, they can hope that gets going. The home team hasn't really won a lot either in that series. We haven't seen it a lot in the playoffs, so I don't know if there's really any edge there. Tonight, Philadelphia, Carolina. I think Carolina's just better. I think the Flyers were a nice story. They outworked Pittsburgh. They got a little bit more offense, but I just think Carolina, when they get the lead, they're relentless. So I like Carolina in that series. Minnesota, Colorado also starts tomorrow. That's a 9 o'clock game. I think that's going to be a great series. We know the format. Colorado should not be playing Minnesota, but there it is. The Avalanche has to still place a top team in Minnesota. I think that series is going to go 7. I still like the Avalanche to win, but I like that one going the distance. Anaheim and Vegas. I think Vegas got a little lucky. I think Utah was up a few times in blue leagues. I mean, give the Golden Knights credit, but I like Anaheim to win in that series. And then, obviously, the Sabres. I can't give you a prediction on that because I don't know who they're going to play yet. But, again, I think I'm leaning towards having them play Tampa coming up in round 2. As soon as we find out when it is, we'll obviously let you know right here on WGR. Hey, big thanks to everybody here at Batavia Downs, including Ryan Hasenauer, for joining me throughout the show. Hope you enjoyed his expertise, his information. Again, BataviaBets.com. If you want to get in a wager, post time is set for 6:57. Thanks to Evan DePasquale back in our Amherst studios today for producing his great work as always. My guests, Owen Parker, Sal Capaccio, Paul Hamilton. I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the Derby. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And I'll talk to you for Game 1, whenever it is, with the Sabres in Round 2, right here on WGR.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.